This morning I'd like to try to sing a song for you. It's a short song, but it points us to a number of very comforting biblical truths. And one of those would be that Jesus said that he laid down his life, that no man took his life. He laid down his life because he was willing to be our Savior. Behold, what manner of love the Father should bestow upon us that we should be called the children of God. The love of God that caused Jesus to be willing to lay down his life for us. When we were yet his enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. And so it's a short song, but it points us to so many wonderful truths. Listen to the words.
Nails held him there.
You can be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll begin our reading there in verses 7 through 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But while we're turning there, question. Can I see the hands of those who have not had any stressful events in the last several weeks of your life? There are no hands. Everyone has stress. Stress is just a reality of the society in which we live. The word stress, it has the thought of pressure. Anybody been pressured this week? Yeah. It comes from a Latin word that literally means to bind tightly. And so picture that in your mind, if you will, that a person bound so tightly that they can't function. Stress can do that to you, can't it? Extreme stress, it has a negative impact on our mental health, even on our physical health. It interferes with our relationship with others when we are so tightly bound by the pressures of life. And it's important for us to understand that we as Christians are not immune to stress. Stress in and of itself is not sin to experience stress. If you're not experiencing stress, you're not alive. The pressure is going to be there. You're going to experience it in many different ways and in many different areas of your life. That's just the reality of life. But this is what's so precious and comforting and valuable about the Word of God. It gives us the remedy to dealing with the negative aspects of stress. This is why it's so important for us to know the Word of God. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 9, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that we as Christians are not immune to these pressures of life. He himself, the apostle of this church age, was not immune to this kind of pressure that we experience every day of our life. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 to 9. If we don't learn to apply God's remedy to stress, we will be so bound by the pressures of life that we won't be able to function as we should as the children of God. We won't be able to do the will of God if we allow stress to destroy, to bind us to the point that we can't do what God's asked us to do. And so God gives us a remedy how that we can experience these very things, the pressures, and they're real, and yet still be able to do the will of God. And this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The Apostle Paul is talking about the treasure of having the gospel of Jesus Christ implanted in our hearts, and therefore having the very nature of Jesus, the very life of Christ in us. We have that treasure, but notice where it's stored. It's in earthen vessels. They're pretty fragile, aren't they? They can't handle a lot of pressure without cracking. But we have a treasure within us that makes these earthen vessels stronger than those who do not have that treasure. And he says in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, when you think of the Apostle Paul and his great life of faith and his power with God and the instrument that he was used to be in the hands of God, would you ever think that he was perplexed? The Apostle Paul was perplexed. He was. He was hard-pressed. He was persecuted, certainly. He was even struck down. The phrase there, we are hard-pressed, it means to narrow. The Apostle Paul had been narrowed, pressed, if you will. People, things, and circumstances pressure us, bring tension on us to try to conform us to certain things. The Apostle Paul felt that, and yet he says, but not crushed. And the thought there is that he was not so hemmed in that he was unable to move. Remember, stress is to be tightly bound. And though the pressures came in on him, he was never bound to the place that he could not continue to do what God had called him to do. Hard pressed, but not crushed. Then he says he was perplexed. It means to be surrounded with no apparent way of escape. You ever been in a circumstance like that? That's perplexing. To be in a situation where you cannot see how this is going to come out in a way that's not going to be harmful to you. The Apostle Paul had many of those perplexing experiences, as you do. And yet he says, not in despair, which means he was never without hope. He couldn't see the escape. He couldn't see how this was going to work for him, but he knew that God was his Father. And he knew the promises that God had made him. And so he, though he was in that perplexing experience, which is never pleasant, he wasn't without hope. So many in the world today are without hope. They know the perplexing experiences, and because they can't see the way of escape, they're just crushed. Persecuted, but not forsaken. The word persecuted means pursued. We all have an enemy that pursues us to keep us from doing the will of God. But the phrase not forsaken, it means not left behind. You're not alone. Remember that. That's one of the things that stress can bring you to, is that absolute despair that I'm alone. But those who trust God and believe his word, we are persecuted, pursued, but we're not forsaken. Struck down, that means you're knocked down. Anybody ever have the wind knocked out of you? You go to the ground. You're just out. Have you ever had the spiritual wind knocked out of you? An unexpected trial or tragedy, it just hits you. And you don't even know how to react. We get knocked down. Christians get knocked down. That's not the sin. But not to remember that we are not ruined. That's what not destroyed means. We are not rendered useless. Yeah, we're knocked down. But if you have had the wind knocked out of you physically, you know that after a great amount of agony, you catch your breath. And in a relatively short amount of time, you're able to stand up and things are back. That's the way it can be in your spiritual life as well. Yes, we get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. In schools and in workplaces, they're teaching now stress management techniques. And I think it's a good thing. Even your watch can tell you when to stop and breathe if you wanted to. I turned mine off. I can breathe on my own, thank you, but But they're teaching, because stress is so real and how it negatively impacts society, individuals, they're teaching these techniques in school. Well, the Bible gives us some ways to deal with stress. When you know and believe the revelation of God's Word, what He's purposed for you, who you are in Christ, when you focus on those truths, those revelations, it will cause you to overcome the negative impact of stress. Now, it won't eliminate stress in your life, but it will cause you to be able to continue to do what God's called you to do, despite the pressures of life that would cause so many of God's people to stop serving and honoring and worshiping the Lord. I want to briefly look at three common areas of stress that we all face in life. I'll give you the three, and then we'll try to go through them as quickly as I can. The first one is pressure to belong and to prove your worth. That's a big one from very early on. The second one is pressure to excel at school or work. And the third one is pressure from the uncertainty of the future. Just the unknown can be a real pressure that just binds you to the point that you can't do what God's called you to do. So let's look at the first one, pressure to belong and prove your worth. This is a constant pressure, whether we're talking about the family, school, work, and sometimes even the church. This kind of pressure can begin to press on you. We have a deep, basic need to belong. God made us that way. Again, that's not sin. That's not wrong. We have a built-in need to feel that we are worthy of the acceptance of others. Isn't that true? Don't you have that? And again, I think God made us that way. I don't think that's sin in and of itself. Now, when you don't put that truth in the context of the will of God, then you can get yourself in trouble quickly. But we need a sense of self-worth. This is why so many go into despair, because they just don't think they have any worth, not to themselves, not to anyone, not to the world, not to God. And it leads to some very depressing feelings that can often lead to self-destruction and sometimes the destruction of others. So this is real. This stress is real. There's that ever-present peer pressure to be like the in crowd. And if you really want to belong and if you really want to be worth something, you have to be like us. You have to talk like us. You have to dress like us. You have to live in the same neighborhood that we live in. Aren't these real pressures that we have in society today? And they can lead to such a binding that God's people are unable to do the will of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is how we need to deal with that kind of pressure, to be like the world or any specific group in that world. If we give in to this pressure of, if you really want to be worth something, if you want to belong, you've got to do this and be like this group and these people, that will lead to sin. Because that giving in to that kind of stress, that kind of pressure, it makes the will and the approval of others more important to you than the will and the approval of God. This is really what it boils down to. Who do you want to consider you to be of worth, the world or God? And so no matter how much pressure you put on, the world puts on you, if you believe it's more important for me to be acceptable in the presence of God and to know that I belong to Him, then I can continue to do what's pleasing to Him, even when this group or the world disapproves and thinks I'm worthless. I know I'm not. Not a boast in me, but because of what God has declared about me, because of what His grace has made me and given me. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of all that He has done for you on the cross, that you present, yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to whom? To God, which is your reasonable service. It makes sense. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word conformed in this passage, it means to be changed into the same pattern. The thought is of being molded to something. A lot of us growing up had Play-Doh. And with a Play-Doh set, some of those sets had molds that you put this big old lump of clay in there and you just press it. And when it's done, it looks like whatever the mold was. That's what the world wants you to do. Now, when you press that clay into that mold, it looks like something else, but it's still clay, isn't it? We're the children of God. And the world wants to press you into its mold. Be like us. Talk like us. Do what we do. This is right. This is good. Don't we look good? Don't you want to be a part of this? You just look like a big lump of clay there. Won't you be like us? The world puts that pressure on you. But the word transformed in this passage, be transformed, it's that word metamorphosis. It's a complete change of nature and character. We've been made new creatures. We were worms. Now we're beautiful butterflies. Know that. Rejoice in that. Why would you want to be pressed into someone else's mold when you've been made new in the image of Christ? Remember that. That'll help you deal with that stress. No, that doesn't even look appealing to me. Why am I going to give in to that pressure? Why would I want that when I'm this? That's how you deal with the peer pressure of life. We are the sons of God. Galatians 3 tells us. I'm going to skip over some of these passages. But there's such safety in knowing I already belong to something great. I've been born with this need to belong. And in the will of God, that's fully satisfied. I belong to Christ. I belong to the family of God. I'm his child. I can be like him. I can grow up and be like Christ. Why would I want to be like the world? Have you seen the world? Have you seen what their choices lead to? I want to be like Christ. I belong to the body of Christ. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the value of being a part of the body of Christ. We are to be thankful. And yes, I know there's hypocrisy in among God's people. And there are those within the body of Christ, and their hypocrisy will put pressure on you to be and do things that God hadn't called you to do. I understand that. But there are those who understand these truths that will be there to support you and comfort you no matter what the world says, no matter what the hypocrites of the church may do. I'm glad I belong to the body of Christ. There have been a number of times when faithful brethren, sisters in the Lord, have lifted me up when I had no strength to carry on. I belong. I belong to the family of God. I've seen what the world has to offer. They can pressure me all they want. I want what Christ has for me. Jesus died to make me his own. Men nailed him to the cross, but he could have called 10,000 angels. Those nails didn't keep him there. His love for me did. How can I doubt that I have worth? There's no room for a feeling of inferiority as a child of God. Jesus laid down his life to buy me. And if he has valued me that much, how can I not rejoice in the opportunity to serve him and to know that I have worth to him? I belong. I don't need the world. It's pressure. The second area, pressure to be successful at school and at work. The world likes to measure our worth by the power of our position, our career, or the value of our net worth. How much do you make? And that's a constant pressure. And this leads to this stress to climb the ladder of success. I've got to be better. I've got to go after this. And there are those that dedicate because they give into that pressure that it's all about making more money. It's all about prestige and power. And I've got to get all that I can get so I have worth again. There's nothing wrong with bettering yourself with education, in your career, in your business opportunities, but not because of this pressure, not because of this stress to get ahead. When you give in to the stress and then you try to succeed, it will lead to sin. You are going to neglect the things that are of eternal value in order to get these material possessions. It'll bind you to the point that you are so busy giving in to this pressure that you can't dedicate yourself to the things that will give you eternal reward. So the answer to this kind of pressure is to remember what your real calling and career is. And that is that you are an ambassador of Christ. That's why you're here breathing today. That's why you go to work every day. Not to impress people with your job or your position or how much money you make, but because you're there to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you a couple of references. You can check me out, but in Ephesians 6, 18 to 20, Ephesians 6, 18 to 20, and 2 Corinthians 5, 20, we are specifically told that we are ambassadors of Christ. We're here to represent him and his message and his will. This is our job, to witness of him. No matter where we work, no matter what school we attend, no matter how far we go in life, education or career or whatever it might be, we're there not because we're pressured to be there and to be the best or people are going to think bad of us, but because I'm there to do the will of God. And the stress reliever of doing the will of God and succeeding and excelling in the will of God, that pressure is relieved because God said, I'll supply everything you need to do my will. Wow. So I don't have to impress you, God? No. Yield your will to mine, and I'll do the work in you and through you. Do you see how that takes the pressure off? Know why you're here, and then look to him to enable you to succeed in the will of God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said that he makes us sufficient. Boy, that takes the pressure off. When you think you have to be everything, do everything. It has to be your intelligence. It has to be your talent, your ability, whether you're talking about sports or school or work, whatever area you're experiencing right now, whatever that pressure is to excel so people think well of you, let it go and know that God will make you sufficient to be his witness in that position. Whether you succeed or fail in the eyes of men, it makes no difference. That's not your worth. Your worth is in doing the will of God. How much does this job of being an ambassador of Christ pay? Paul wrote to the Philippians, my God will supply all your need. Whatever you need, you got it. That's the kind of job to have. And that's the job we all have. And don't misunderstand me, this not giving in to the pressure to excel in whatever area you are, it's not a careless attitude I'm talking about. It's not a lazy attitude. You think of men of faith like Joseph, David, and Daniel. These all reached the pinnacle of their careers, didn't they? But it wasn't because they gave in to pressure to excel. It was in the position that God had placed them. They surrendered their will to the will of God, and they lived to honor and witness to others about him. And so God caused them to excel, even in natural things. So there's nothing wrong with being at the top of the ladder, but not because you gave in to pressure. That'll kill you. You'll fall off that ladder sooner or later. But when God causes you to succeed, it's one that you can rest in. Know what your real job is. You're a witness of Jesus Christ. Then the last one, pressure, stress from the uncertainty of the future. This is a big one. This is one of the temptations that I have to deal with all the time, personally. We all have different things that are greater temptations to us than others. But I have found that too many of us are so bound by the stress of worrying about the future that we're unable to enjoy today, to do the will of God today. We don't have peace and joy today because the stress of the unknown is binding us too tight. And saints, that's not what God intends for us as his children. There's nothing wrong with being prepared for the future, financially or in any other way. In fact, it's prudent, it's wise to prepare for tomorrow. But if you haven't found it out yet, nobody likes to prepare and plan more than I do. I like the details. But I found out pretty quickly, no matter how much I plan, I can never plan for everything. And that stress could bind me so much that I would spend every moment of today worrying about tomorrow. That's not what God's called us to. Romans 8 and verse 32. Lay hold of these truths. It will cause you not to give in to the stress, the pressure of life. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That includes tomorrow and all the things I don't know about tomorrow. Again, I can plan, seek the Lord. Lord, give me wisdom. What should I plan? How should I prepare? But when it's all said and done, all those things that I can't possibly know, I don't know what my health's going to be tomorrow. I don't know what the economy is going to be tomorrow. I look, and it's kind of scary. I can do what is within my realm to be able to kind of prepare myself to deal with the economy and to deal with whatever other things are looming in the future. But when it's all said and done, I know when I get there, God's going to be there. The Lord will be there. And so I'm not going to be so bound that I'm going to let that stress rob me of my joy today, my peace of mind. Knowing I belong to him, he's promised to supply all my need. Psalm 37 tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's got tomorrow all planned out, far better than my plans. And I think my plans are pretty good, but they have proven to be faulty from time to time. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It takes the stress out of tomorrow. At least it allows you to deal with it in a way that you can enjoy peace and joy in doing the will of God today. Paul wrote the Colossians, and he said in Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10, that you are complete in him. I have everything I need today, and I will have everything I need tomorrow. I am what I am by the grace of God, Paul wrote, and I'll be what I'll be tomorrow by the grace of God. Do you see how that loosens the binds of stress? Oh, they're still there. The pressure will always be there, but we don't have to let it keep us from doing the will of God and enjoying all that he's promised both now and in eternity. Let's close this morning and read Philippians 4. These passages, these scriptures, they're all very familiar. But saints, if we don't apply them to our life, we're going to be so tightly bound by stress in all of these areas. And these were just three common areas. There's stress in so many areas of our life. But go to the Word of God. Believe what these things say. This is your Father speaking to you. And in Philippians 4, verses 6 to 8, when you begin to despair because of stress, when you become so despondent, and I don't know if any of you have really experienced that. I believe there have been times in my life when I have experienced the reality of the darkness of depression. It's real. It's scary. You begin to feel so close you can't see a way of escape. And that pressure is real. But I've also found in those very real experiences that the Word of God has brought comfort and direction that pulled me out of that. But it's only because I constantly exposed myself to the Word of God by reading it, by studying it, by preaching it, by hearing it. But so many of God's people, they remove themselves from the benefit of the Word of God that'll bring relief, healing, to bring release of that pressure. And one of those passages that will do that for you, if you believe it, if you follow through with what it asks you to do, what it exhorts you to do, we'll close with these words, Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Man, there's so many instructions here. Follow them through one by one, just like you'd follow a recipe. Some of you, if you follow recipes when you cook, some of you don't. But if you follow a recipe, you read that instruction, you do it. It's the same with the Word of God. Let your request be made known to God. And what's going to happen? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, here it is. More instruction, more ingredients. Whatever things are true, where are you going to find that out? In the Word of God. Whatever things are noble, in whose sight? In the eternal God's sight. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think, focus on these things. This is God's remedy to the stress of life. Let's close with a song.